This is episode 15 of From Someplace New, and this episode is going to be a follow-up on last week's episode where we talked about minimalism. This week, Karen has some awesome tips.
Welcome to From Someplace New, the long-term travel podcast where Karen Bernhardt and John Sumple discuss their hows and whys, lows and highs, and lessons learned while living abroad.
Hi, I'm John Sumple.
And I'm Karen Bernhard.
And this is From Someplace New, our onward travel, long-term travel podcast.
Yes, it is. That's what this is. Here we are.
You don't sound very excited.
No, I'm excited.
Did I have to twist your arm to get you to do this one?
No, I mean, I think it's, I have a lot to say about it. So it's right. Just a matter of how I organize it. Hopefully we'll have like a lovely organic conversation about it. But this is something that I've spent a lot of time with and continue to refine. So it's a topic that's kind of near and dear to my heart.
Before we get into it, though, we're gonna formalize some of the things that we do.
Get a little more formal,
a little bit more of a rhythm with this.
Structure. I know that's kind of
it's a big pet peeve of yours.
It's an ugly word for some people, but
like me,
just a little more structure.
I mean, I'm more of a free former.
John is all about riffing, and I'm thinking that maybe we need to, tighten up a little bit and create a loose, if you will, format. Looser.
Considering that we didn't have a format before.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll do whatever we want. We're going to do whatever we want.
So we're going to kick it off, though, with a new feature.
Yes.
What was the best thing that happened to me this week?
To you or to me?
You answer that question. I answer that question.
Right. So
we discussed this ahead of time.
I know. I'm surprise just messing you? With you. No. It's like the best thing that happened. So John's basically asking me. I'm asking him. Right. But what we thought would be good is not let each other know ahead of time.
Right.
What that best thing was. Hopefully there's many, many things, and we are pretty good about being, grateful and counting our blessings and doing that every day, but some things stand out more than others.
Sure. So how about you? What was the best thing that happened to you this week?
Okay, you're going to probably laugh, and our listeners
I know what it
might
is.
Laugh.
I'm going to guess.
Right. So I figured out how I could use, it sounds funny, how I could use the bathtub, but there's a bathtub without a plug in this apartment. At the grocery store, they don't really have a utility section or anything they normally do, but it's closed off during the COVID situation. You look before to see if there was some sort of drain or even one of those, just a rubber stopper or anything. So I figured out basically the lid of an ice cream container, plastic lid, and it created enough suction, and I was able to take a lovely,
it's like 2 hour
full, warm enough hot water. Just real quick, in case you think things are always super glamorous with travel, the water was warm. I mean, it's been pretty decent at this apartment, but when you're filling the tub all the way to the top and you kind of want to luxuriate, we enhanced it with boiling water. So I was putting saucepans.
Glamorous
pans.
Side. Yes, no spa treatments, but
right.
Boiling water for the bathtub.
Right. So I can take a bath. That's it.
That's fantastic.
Oh, can I just do a kind of a bonus too?
Sure.
This past week was my dad's birthday on Tuesday. So I had a nice long chat with my parents, and especially talking to my dad. And that was really, really nice. I realized how much I missed them. And it was a nice call.
So you're probably wondering what the best thing that happened to me last week.
You're looking at it.
Huh?
You're looking at it.
Yes. Right? This last week and every week in the past and every week and into the future.
Very good.
Same answer every time.
Of course.
For me, it was more a matter of, even though we've been here in Bariloche now for three, I've lost count. I started thinking about forward travel. So much so that I started looking into planning and looking at visa scenarios. I kind of got jazzed again. So the best thing that happened to me over the last 3 or 4 days is that I really started getting excited about what's next. And I've been hearing from people who are saying that they're traveling again and things are opening up and people are starting that are doing similar things to what we are starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
So glimmers, yes.
Yeah. That's a perfect segue into our other standing feature, our update on lockdown.
Our COVID-19 update. And we have a wee little update, but actually it ends up being quite a significant update.
For us, it's huge. It's the biggest news in 3 months.
Yeah, so, okay. Dun, dun, dun.
No, they
starting
announced,
tomorrow.
Yeah, starting tomorrow. They announced this on Saturday, I guess, Friday or Saturday, that we are now allowed to go outside for up to, was it an hour or 30
an
minutes?
An hour, I
up
think it was an hour.
An hour a day for leisure exercise, which
leisure
is basically
recreational,
walking.
Like you can be out there only, I mean, just because you want to get some fresh air and exercise. Right. Oh, although, is it still on your days?
No, it didn't say
or
that.
Every day?
So we could.
Okay.
I don't see a police present. Really haven't seen that in a while. So we can now do a walk. We can go within 500 meters of your residence.
Right, and stay 2 meters apart, which I try to do anyway.
I'd like to stay away
at all times.
No. I could use some space.
Right, give me my space on my walkies.
So that's a good thing. That's mm-hmm. exciting.
Yeah.
So that kind of is leading that, at least in this area, things are starting to open up a little bit. And we are hoping that that will lead to more opportunities. Even if it's to travel within Argentina would be a good thing. Although we're kind of getting tired of sitting around and starting to think about what else is out there. Because the lockdown scenario in South America doesn't look like it's going anywhere anytime soon because of
that's
the countries
the
are seeing an increase. And because we're heading into the winter months, mm-hmm. it's kind of going into flu season anyway. So we're starting to see a little bit of it's an uptick in cases. So
yeah,
there's not a lot here
really
where
bad.
We are. And they said that they have isolated the cases now here, that it's not community spread. They know where each one that's coming into the hospital here in Bariloche is coming from contact within family groups or associated groups, so they know where kind of like where the hot spot is. So there hasn't been any community cases in a while, so there's this feeling that they've kind of isolated it here, but it's a whole different story on the bigger picture for Argentina.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing, you referenced this, we don't want to just make a move to make a move within the country and then just sit still for a couple more months.
Right.
So, of course, it might be appealing to have some new scenery and a new setting, but how much of a setting? Because it might just be within the four walls of a new apartment.
Well,
so that just isn't feeling real great.
But we found out, one of the things that I found out doing some research, I went to the U.S. State Department, and there are flights out of Santiago. So they're far and few between. They're not repatriation flights.
Buenos Aires to Santiago.
Oh, I'm sorry. Out of Buenos Aires, not Santiago. Mm-hmm. But from Buenos Aires to Miami, there was one to New York. And so once I saw that, I started looking at, well, maybe we can get out of here. And I did see one flight that was very bizarre. It went from Buenos Aires to Santiago, from Santiago to London, from London to Miami. And that was like $7,000.
You had mentioned the one Buenos, Santiago, Dominican Republic, Miami.
And we're going to look into that. Because it was by far the cheapest. The ones we looked at some last week that were $1,500 per person, just one way to get to Miami. But I did find one that was $450 per person to get to Miami. But our concern is that it's not a direct flight. And the biggest concern is that we're 20 hours away from Buenos Aires by car.
Number one. How do we
there's no buses, there's
airport.
No trains, there's no domestic flights. So we have
it's
to get.
It's a long walk.
It is a long walk carrying all those bags.
Yeah. Minimalism.
We do
more
have wheels on
that
the
next.
Bags. Two of the bags. Which is a perfect segue, you know, into this week's episode.
How can you reduce your stuff so that you can carry it 20
So this is another,
hours.
This is like another all Karen all the time episode.
No.
No, this is your thing.
I mean, yes, I interestingly, probably one of only a few times I'll be doing most of the talking.
No, I think there's
in this
a
podcast.
Bunch of stuff like this.
Yeah. No, I think you'll be interested. I mean, I have my notes in that, but I think there'll be things that you'll want to jump in with.
So is this a list? Is it like five things,
I loosely
things,
structured
two
it, again, with the structure, but loosely structured it as 5 steps to take toward a more minimalist lifestyle pre-travel. So there's some things that could overlap for anyone, anywhere, not necessarily to travel. But mine was obviously a focus on traveling, mm-hmm. so reducing to make life simpler and easier to get on the road, plus 5 pointers for staying minimal on the road.
Wow.
So how to achieve a more minimal lifestyle, whether you're going to end up traveling or not, And then if you are traveling, how to stay minimal while you're out and about.
So let's jump right into it.
Let's do it.
What you got?
Okay, so what I wanted to just start out with is the fact that minimalism, simplification, this whole thing, it's a process. It's a journey. It's not something you you achieve overnight or in a couple of weeks or even a couple months. I mean, it's an ongoing.
Especially if emotion is involved.
Yes, and we'll get into that. There's the very practical aspect of what you're doing, but there's a lot of emotion around our stuff and why we have what we have and how hard it is to get rid of certain things. And so, yeah, I just wanted to preface that obviously this is a process. It's something that I came to, I think, a little bit easier than other people might, because I've never been somebody who is a collector that has a lot of things. I mean, certainly not a hoarder or anything at that level. So I think I always had a little bit more of a leaning toward this, or more of an opportunity to be more minimal, because I like things neat, I like things clean, I like things orderly. So those kind of overlap.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of that. And then also, well, here's your first tip. Make a major cross-country move. Leave a house knowing that you're going into an apartment, into your next place. So you guys know our backstory. That obviously was a huge kickoff.
I thought that was the hardest for you, because you had become so attached to the home that we lived in.
Yeah.
And had, spent a lot of time decorating it over 10 years.
It was very personal. I loved that house. I loved my decor stamp on it. Had spent a lot of energy and effort getting it looking a certain way, because I'm an aesthete and I liked it. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
So your first tip is move?
Yeah, so make a major cross-country move. Ideally, know that you're going into a place that's probably a third of the size of what you have now. So that's my first tip.
So maybe it's a mental exercise,
but no.
Right?
No, I was setting that up a little bit, that foundationally, what happened with me, with us. But no, my first tip, so let's just kind of get into it as far as, what has application for more people, is define your why. So why do you want to minimize? So like we were just talking about, my why for the first time from Fort Lauderdale to Seattle was, there was some discussion around that we wanted to have things simpler. We knew we'd be renting. We knew we didn't want to have, the burden of a house and a yard. And so what I wanted to say along those lines is the why could be in a few different situations. So we knew that first time we were downsizing and wanted to simplify. So maybe same thing, you're moving to a smaller place, maybe you're a new empty nester, maybe you're retiring and want to simplify. I mean, there's a lot of different scenarios. Maybe you want to sell some stuff. I mean, I've known people that have done that. They just kind of looked around and they're like, I have too much stuff. Oh, and by the way, there's all these various mediums now that you can offer up, and Craigslist and all these different things that you could go through and sell a bunch of stuff, mm-hmm.
Yard sales too.
Yeah. The traditional yard sale. Mm-hmm. Remember those yard sales?
But another thing I would think too is that if you're like, I'm spending too much money on stuff, I'm buying too many things.
Right.
There's a mentality of maybe I want to save some money by not buying so much, even if it's like, not necessarily.
Hold that thought, because I touch on that a little bit later, but there is an aspect of that.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so why, I mean, just at its, the germ of the thing, why do you want, and it's stuff. I mean, minimalism is reducing stuff, okay? Why do you want less stuff in your life? Or how about this? What is it keeping you from? Is there too much to maintain? Is it just visual clutter that's draining you? Some people feel that. Yeah, just get to, I mean, this is a very practical process, but like we've mentioned before, it's also very emotional. So anytime in any endeavor, if you can get to the core of why you want to do this and envision the result, like the rewards of going through the process, I think that's always going to strengthen it for you.
I think a lot of people could speak to that, because over the last 3 months, being isolated at home, mm-hmm. they've gone through cleaning out that closet or the garage.
Yeah,
or the
a lot of you have already gotten a huge head start on this, mm-hmm. and hopefully you get out of it what I do. I get a buzz from it. I always have, sorting through and packing up things and figuring out stuff that I don't need anymore, and then looking around me and seeing, or opening up a drawer or opening up a closet and realizing that things are exactly what I want and nothing extra. I love it. hopefully other people.
You're very fastidious. We've talked about that before. It's not about there's a ton of clutter.
No.
It's more a matter of there's things that are accumulating that we're not even touching. We're not looking at. They're not essential. They're not important for, you know, documents or things like that. They're just, it's just stuff.
Yep.
And I'm sure, I'm not going to bring these up because I'm sure they're on your list. So I'll let you keep going.
Yeah, so what I was saying, so after your why, now we're getting into more of the actual doing the work, but I would...
Number two?
Yep, number two is start with a smaller, less overwhelming area of your home. So maybe the junk drawer. Everyone's got the junk drawer in the kitchen. So many things at first swipe, things that are old or broken, or in the case of your bath, things that are expired. I mean, hit the obvious things first that are like, this is ridiculous. Why is this taking up space in my
home? Little victories, right?
Right. Right. So kind of, you know, flex your muscles a little bit with that. A big area to look at with this too is the cupboards. I consider this a smaller, so not your entire kitchen, but maybe pick a cupboard. I think a lot of people tend to fall into duplicates. You know, there's the duplicates of things, or there's just random kitchen tools that you never use.
Expired food.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And your actual pantry, your foods. Yeah, just give yourself those easy wins with things that aren't going to be emotional. It's obvious. Like, this is silly. Like, why do I have this? So that was my second tip.
So it gives you some momentum.
Yeah. Kind
of take the little ones, get three or four little ones under your belt.
And it tends to feed you toward, the bigger projects. So with that, I would say number three, move to, I'm calling it a mid-level project. So that might be your garage, your basement, your attic, the biggest storage closet in your house. Mm-hmm. So now it's time to dig into that and spend some time there. There's so much stuff. I mean, so I'm just going to reference some of the things that were kind of ridiculous that this was in Seattle. Now we're in Seattle.
Okay.
And these are the things we're going through to make the move for our travel, this long-term travel lifestyle. Pretty decent storage. Remember, like, there was underneath the stairwell there. There's a lot of storage. We had a lot of things in bins, but I had said to John, I said, some of these things were already organized, like mementos and things and paperwork and photos were already neatly organized in storage bins, but I still wanted to go through them.
Mm-hmm.
I remember saying to you, I want to touch everything we own and assess whether it makes sense. You know, to hold on to it, we knew we would probably have a small storage unit or get rid of it. So, do you remember this, John? Like CDs?
Oh,
those
sure.
Catalogs of CDs and DVDs that we held on to?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
get rid of them.
Obvious. I mean, we'll never use them.
The DVDs, who watches DVDs?
Right, right.
We had two or three cases of them, probably about 200 or 300 DVDs.
Yeah. I mean, there were things like magazines. Again, I mean, we're not huge collectors, but it still was starting to happen where you have the basket
references.
Full of magazines.
Yeah, a lot of them were travel related. And we're
right.
Like, oh, let's hold on to these because there's good things in here that we could get to. That was more me. I know you wanted to get rid of them. And I think there was more than one occasion where, like, what happened to
inevitably you would want to reference something from 6 months ago. And I was like, oh, shoot. Yeah. Yeah. We come up against that. Well, not now, but we used to. Sometimes I got a little too vigorous with my reductions.
Oh, there's some stories that we won't mention.
Right. But, I mean, just there's, you know, old, like, toys if you have kids and, you know, through the years, the old toys and the weird souvenirs. I mean, there's beautiful souvenirs that you get with travel, but then there's just odd, random things and the giveaway T-shirts at a sporting event, just all that kind of stuff.
Take a picture of them.
Right. You know? So then, thank you. That's a sub-tip.
Oh, nice.
Because one thing that's really hard is mementos, memorabilia, and a lot of times it's things with the kids, you know, things that they made in school and little greeting cards that they might have made you and things like that. So one of the tips that I would share, just that, take photos of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's still a memory of it. You know, a lot of times it's not really the object. It's what the object triggers or, you know, what it makes you reflect upon. So if you still have that through a photo, I think that's kind of a cool way to
handle it. And there's services where you can pack stuff up and send it in to have them scan whether it's paperwork.
Oh, sure.
You know, take paperwork from being paper to an electronic PDF file.
Right.
So scanning things. So we scanned a lot of stuff too before we left.
Yeah,
Not a
we
lot,
did.
But the things that we needed.
Yeah, a decent handful. Mm-hmm. One thing that we didn't do that we had really intended to, and it's still sitting in our storage, is all the cell phones, taking photos and storing everything on the cloud and that. Actual physical photos.
Right.
We really had intended to take the time and scan those.
There's a lot of photos.
Yeah.
So
that's
at some point we'll send that, pack them up and send them.
Well, we looked into it. I remember thinking it was kind of expensive at the time for us. We were, looking at, we were kind of on a budget.
There are services now where they give you a size box, whatever you can fit into the box. And I don't remember the name of it. I know that other people who have done some of the travel things that we're doing said the same thing, is just pack those things up, send them off to the company, let them do all the scanning. They throw the stuff away and you get a link to a download of the images, paperwork, whatever it might be.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's a cool service for sure. So now, right now we have a few documents that we have to have, the physical documents that we travel with, but other than that, everything is
we have one very thin
super
folder
thin file
with paperwork that we needed to take with us.
Yeah, but those are sticky areas, but that would have huge impact for most people and going through your paperwork, your photos,
and it's a daunting task. I think a lot of people look at it as like there's just so much of it.
Right.
And part of it, too, is that, we had documents that were dating back like 15 years were no longer necessary to keep.
Yeah.
There's
statute
of limitations.
There's no retention period that's even recommended
for it.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah. You just got to dig in and keep remembering your why when you're doing this. And it's
I think part of it, even like with the why, because I think some people will be like, whenever they open that storage closet and they're like, oh, this is bursting at the seams.
Here we go.
And it makes them anxious.
Mm-hmm.
So removing that source of anxiety is a step in, decluttering your life.
Yeah. And a lot of you that are embarking on this, it might not be a situation where you have some sort of time frame. I mean, we had time frames when we were leaving Fort
Lauderdale.
Helps.
Having a deadline helps.
Well, that's true. That's true. I was thinking more that, don't stress yourself, give yourself the time. But yeah, that's true. The urgency.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I am a procrastinator, so the urgency does kind of put the fire under you. Yeah. So tackle it in layers that way. And my fourth point was, we've already touched on a little bit, but how to work through the harder to give up items, setting yourself up for greater success with that. And again, that's getting into the emotional side of things, and we touched on that, the mementos, the memorabilia. Can you take some photos of it? Can you, instead of that entire bin of school projects, from your kids' third grade projects, can you whittle that down to maybe one or two that are representative and that kind of bring you the most joy? Attachment issues, I think, is a big part of this. Why we're attached to the stuff that we have. So that's my point, was kind of getting, dig into that and try to understand, what is it bringing up for you? Why are some things super easy when you force yourself to get rid of and other things aren't? And are there workarounds? Are there ways to kind of soothe yourself through that so that you don't feel like you're, quote, giving up something that matters?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, a few representative items, or you're honoring the memory of the thing. Because that's the whole point with a lot of this. It's not the stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the memories that you had.
For me,
you can speak on this because you had some stuff.
The hardest thing for me was a lot of sports memorabilia.
Yeah, sports.
I had newspaper clippings from the Pittsburgh Pirates winning the World Series in 1971. I had an album with clippings of the Raiders when they won, from different newspapers. And that was a physical thing. And I mean, like, it just brought me back to that moment.
But only because you were forced to look at it.
Right.
So when it's sitting underneath your,
don't think about it,
floor in the basement.
Right.
So the way
I looked at that is that I realized the only time I ever look at these things is when we're moving.
When we're moving, yes.
And it's like, so I'm going to keep these things forever and ever. When right now, if I ever wanted to go back to that time, there's a new thing out called the internet.
Oh, I've heard of
that.
That
has everything that's ever happened documented.
So it's like you can go in and reference things and
look
up things.
It's the Wayback Machine.
Oh, that's handy.
Way, way back.
That's handy.
Relive everything you've ever wanted. There's even videos on this internet thing.
Wow.
Of those very games.
That sounds cool.
Those very events,
cool.
You know, watching as a kid. So once I kind of got to that point of, I don't need all this stuff. I mean, I had a whole bunch of stuff when the two times the Marlins won the World Series. Was a season ticket holder, went to all the playoff games and just loved that whole energy that surrounds that. But I had like a whole bin of stuff from that.
Yeah,
and I'm
yeah,
like,
I know you
what
did.
Am
one
I
of the bigger bins.
This?
Yeah.
And
what did you end up
all.
Doing? Did you get rid
of
it? Seems like you held on to a handful.
I don't think
handful.
I kept anything.
Did you get rid of your memorabilia, your signed baseballs?
Oh, I have those. That's different.
Okay.
So I have baseball cards that are of value.
Yeah.
A couple of signed baseballs, the camera collection that you would not let
the
me get rid of.
The vintage camera collection, which I love. So, okay, yeah,
so there's
decisions made. Somebody else could go through this process and be like, that's ridiculous.
Well, I guess the question
I
would
cameras.
Ask is, okay, so we're in South America with designs to travel for the next 5, 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen to that camera collection? It's just going to sit there.
I know.
Are we going to go back and visit it, give it a nice warm hug?
Maybe.
And then hit the road again?
No, it will be interesting. There will come a day where we will be back in that storage unit and going through some stuff again and realizing, I mean, pretty confidently, you know, realizing we're not going to need it or
right.
question why we held on to it. But just another point real quick, too, with the attachment aspect of it. There's the idea of that happens a lot when you're going through your stuff is this just in case I'll hold on to this or I should hold on to this just in case. You'll find yourself coming up against that a lot.
Excuse
and
us.
What some of these minimalists
yeah.
and we're going to share some resources in the notes here. I follow there's three different people. Well, there's the minimalists, the two guys that did the documentary. And then there's also a woman that I follow that has a concept of minimizing your wardrobe. It's the 333, where you have 33 items that you wear for 3 months. She's amazing. And there's also Joshua Becker with Becoming Minimalist. So we'll reference that. But these are three awesome resources.
They're your go-tos?
Absolutely. Yeah, they do great things and very inspiring and just tons of practical tips and they dig deep and it's really
minimalist,
good.
Minimalist, the documentary film was kind of what kind of kicked it
yeah.
off, right?
Yeah, no, I wanted to make mention of that. I think we did in the last podcast about this, but definitely.
Worth mentioning again.
Yeah, no, we can do that.
We're grown-ups.
Yeah, but yeah, the just in case basically means never. So remember that. Anytime you find yourself saying, well, and it's the silliest things. It's like, oh, well, we might go camping in a cold climate again. Did it one time. Or we might need to, you know what the things are.
Well, a good thing to do is if you haven't used them in months, years, sell them, knowing that if I do it again, I'll go out and buy something new.
Or, John, even more sustainable, you'll borrow, right? You'll mm-hmm. borrow from somebody or you'll rent it, mm-hmm. which is something we all need to be moving toward. So if you are in a situation where it's a specialty event or a specialty activity that requires certain gear or equipment or whatever, you can get it and not have to own it, mm-hmm. basically.
And there's a lot of times that we get these wild hairs and we're kind of like, I'm going to do this thing. And then you go out and buy all the accompanying things that go with that.
Crafts and art supplies.
Right.
Ding, ding, ding. That was
so, yeah,
a
so
huge
if there are people out there who've
undertaking.
Shoved under the bed or in a closet somewhere and you have no intention of going back to it, get rid of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And along those lines, too, the getting rid of it is don't fall into the trap of, okay, I'm going to say this with a bit of a caveat because I'm someone who's very neat and very organized. But sometimes what happens is people are like, oh, well, I'll get all these great new storage bins and I'll, you know, these containers and that, and I'll just take everything I have and I'll make it more organized and I'll, you know, neaten up all the things that I have. Some of that is great. Some of the organization is helpful, but you're just sorting. If you're just sorting
right.
it in a new
Don't
way,
think of all the space that
you're not getting rid of it.
Up.
No, I found this statement from Francine Jay. It was something online. She says, at some point I realized that I wasn't organizing my life. I was organizing my clutter. That's when I changed strategies. I went from world-class organizer to world-class declutterer. Instead of arranging and containing things, I got rid of them. Instead of shuffling them around my house, I escorted them out of my house. So
that's awesome.
Discard, don't disorganize.
Right.
And the fifth point in this journey toward minimizing is to stop accumulating new stuff.
There you go.
So don't just replace and don't fall into the trap, whether it's over weeks or months or a year, of just reverting back to the gathering and containing all of the things again. Because there's habits that have been formed. There's reasons why we're acquiring certain things, holding on to certain things. So we need to break that pattern.
So it's like if you get something new, if you get a new camera, if you get a new toaster, if you get a new blender, if you get a new anything, get rid of the old one. Don't shove it in a corner thinking like, oh, I'll use it for parts later.
For parts. Oh, I think you guys are especially guilty of that.
Yeah.
Oh, can we just touch on adapters, cables, cords, connectors?
But
this is a running joke with my any girlfriend that has a man in her life. Yeah. Okay.
But since we've been traveling, I do. I'm like, do I need this? And I have downsized a lot of the accessories that come that I don't need. Or I'll buy something that replaces two or three things.
Yeah.
It makes it
consolidate,
a little bit,
basically.
Yeah, consolidating your tech needs.
Yeah. So the accumulate. Yeah. So slowing down the accumulating. And there's so much. I feel like I could do a third podcast on all of this as I'm going through my notes and we're talking about this. I'm like, oh, there's so much more. There's so much more. But
that's your five for the.
Well, yeah. And I wanted to hold on real quick. I wanted to touch on the fact that, the shopping, right? So the for me, it's clothes. Clothes are a big part of
this. That's what I was going to bring up.
Right. The clothes. So, I mean, if I have to constantly just challenge myself to not fall into the temptation zone. So don't go to the stores, don't go to the malls, don't before it was don't hop online, that was too easy. Online shopping, just the thing, the triggers that make you want to buy and acquire, and then we're getting into things like, why are we buying the things we are? Are we bored? Are we trying to keep up with the Joneses? Or is it a status thing? Do we think we need to have this? Is it a trend thing with clothes or decor or electronics? There's so much there.
Is it a pick-me-up? Is it something that's providing some sort of an emotional fix?
Right. And I am an emotional shopper. Yes. I have been for many, many years.
Many years.
Yes. So I, feed off that high of that. Just that. I mean, the shopper's high, which is quickly followed in a lot of cases by, regret, because now I have something that I just spent money on that I really didn't need. You know, the feeling didn't last long enough to justify what I just spent. Not that I was some crazy, wild spender. I've always been fairly frugal, too.
Mm-hmm. It's not very sustainable.
Frugality only goes so far when you're just accumulating. It could be things that are affordable, but it adds up, obviously, over years. So
one thing that you did when we moved out to Seattle in particular is that you started shopping at secondhand stores.
Yeah, that was new for me. I never used to be a thrift or consignment store shopper. And for me, it was very, very recreational. I could spend hours. And I have
Back, it's like, I only spent $2 on this.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but you bought five $2 things that there's now five new things that are going to be in your closet.
Right, right.
And I think that we had talked about this before. If you buy one thing, one should come out. But maybe have the mentality, if I buy one thing, two come out.
Yeah, and that's a little bit of a teaser, spoiler alert for what we're going to get into for the staying minimal on the road,
okay.
What you just mentioned. So why don't you talk about what we left Seattle with? Basically, physically, what we were leaving and starting our journey with?
Way too much.
Well, in hindsight, okay.
Because you don't know.
In hindsight, but no.
We thought we had pared down and we had planned that we're going to need two bags, two duffel bags apiece, a carry-on bag, and a backpack. So the carry-on bag was primarily because we would say, well, if we're going to go away for a weekend, we're not going to take this duffel bag with us. We want to have something that's going to be light so that it was functional to have it dual purpose, carry our stuff, and then also use it for short-term travel when we were traveling. Sounds like the neighbors are having a party.
Yeah, there is a little house party. It is, like we mentioned before, it's quarantine, so quarantine, people are,
It seems to be a regular, our neighbors right next to us, they're either asleep or they're up all night partying.
Yeah, they keep some really late
hours. They were up until 4 o'clock with their music playing. Last night, their music was on loud. Not like in a raucous way.
No, it's not obnoxious.
The walls
are
very thin.
Yeah,
they can probably hear our podcast and say, "There's gringos are talking again." So, you know, it's all good. But just so you know, that's the music in the background.
And maybe you like it. Maybe you like the sweet, you know, sounds.
A little background music.
Yeah.
So the whole idea was that we wanted to basically have the essentials, but we found out very quickly how much of a hassle it was to have two duffel bags apiece.
Mm-hmm.
So we downsize. And what for me, it was relatively easy. I'm like, I'm not wearing these things. I'm getting rid of them. I have no emotional attachment to any of my clothes.
The clothing aspect is not hard for you. It just isn't. You've always been a practical dresser. You're always like, I have a handful of things that I like to wear that are comfortable. But yet, interesting what happens for you is your shoes and things. I mean, you have bigger feet and you're a bigger guy, so the things take up more space.
Right.
You know?
A little bit. And also, I have a tendency, I don't have a rotation.
Yeah.
Of shoes.
You don't like, yeah, you don't need options.
I have three pair of shoes. I have a pair of sneakers. I have a pair of trail shoes and I have a pair of hiking shoes, and I wear the sneakers pretty much all the time, and then they wear out. So I'm going to need to get replacement, which isn't always easy when you're traveling, because especially in South America, it was very difficult for me to find shoes in my size.
Yeah. Your big honking 13 feet.
That was a little bit of a challenge. So are we into the five things?
Yeah. I think we're ready for the five tips.
Yeah, because we realize that we're already deep into the show.
I mean, the non-talker is yakking away, because I told you guys this is a topic that I get fired up about, because I just think it's interesting and there's a lot of benefits to it. But yeah, so we left with pretty big duffels.
Yeah, it's downsized our lives, and it was our lives.
But yeah, like give ourselves a little bit of credit, is everything we own. But I guess what I would say with this is, and most travelers knew this going into, they're like, streamline, because you're not going to want to carry the stuff if you're taking buses and loading up into, you know, Ubers and rental cars and doing these different things. I knew that. I knew that, and I still know that, but there's still things I'm not there yet. I think I mentioned this last time that I would love to get to a position where I'm only using one large roller bag and then my backpack with my laptop as a carry-on, but I'm not there yet. So we'll see. Okay, so tips would be just a streamlined wardrobe. So I talked about the capsule wardrobe. This won't be a new concept to a lot of you, but I spent an inordinate amount of time before we left figuring out what I thought would be like the perfect mix and matchable. Again, I'm not somebody that's into a lot of patterns and colors and styles and that. I have a pretty, you know, clean kind of aesthetic anyway. But it really was about everything I tried, everything I packed needed to be serve a purpose. You know, not a lot of extraneous things. Still options. So
but you got rid of a lot of stuff already.
Yeah, I had started the process before.
You went down from two duffel bags to a suitcase.
Oh, you're giving me credit for where I've gotten?
Yeah,
with this? Okay.
You got rid of a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, and the duffel bags had room in them when we left, so they weren't packed to the gills. And I think you, after our stay in Mexico, you packed them to the gills.
Mm-hmm.
You wound up, by the time we left Mexico, you had more stuff with you than you left Seattle with.
Oh, Mexico was such a huge temptation with all the beautiful artisan goods.
But then when we were in Quito, we downsized.
Yes. Quito was when we both changed our
suitcases,
our bag situation.
Yeah. We had gotten rid of two of the duffel bags anyway, but then we're like, let's get rid of the duffel bags completely. I downsized quite a bit into a bag that I only have around 40, 45 pounds. And then I have a duffel bag.
I wanted a roller bag. I wanted something. So it's a hard side bag. So there's pros and cons. You can, you know, read all about that with luggage as far as soft side, duffel, you know, backpack, strappage, all the different things.
What makes it easy for you?
But yeah, for me, it made sense to have a roller. And there were so many times we're navigating through crowded areas. And
that was it was very apparent after our very first flight from Seattle to Cancun, where you were like, this, I can't do this. This is overwhelmed and anxious.
Obnoxious. It was obnoxious trying to drag those big, huge bags. And the one was on a wheel system that was not great. And just, clonking along with, And it's ongoing. I'm still motivated to have less because I just want to be that much more nimble every time we pack. And as you know, every month we're usually packing up and going. Okay, so the wardrobe, getting that, the clothes, getting that streamlined and having that make sense is a big part when if you're going to be traveling like this long term. Packing cubes.
Mm-hmm.
I love packing cubes. I know it seems like people are split on this. A lot of people are kind of, they've tried them and they're indifferent going into it. What's the big deal? It's just a cube. You're putting the stuff in your suitcase anyway. For me, it's the organization, and I feel like I can kind of move things around. Like once I have the things sorted within the various cubes, I use about 6 of them, mm-hmm. different sizes. You use a handful of them for your electronics and cords and accessories. Yeah, so the packing cubes are a great thing. I mean, they can only fit so much. So if it's getting too full, it's probably because I've acquired something, too much, and I got to keep it down. Yeah, so it's always serves as a reminder every time we pack.
Okay.
That's getting out of hand. So you touched on this, but I think this is really important, especially as we're traveling, is the concept of one in, one out, or maybe one in, two out.
Mm-hmm.
So I still allow some frivolity here and there, and I still will get a new shirt or a new sweater or something. A lot of times they're artisan inspired. There's something, I'm looking at you, Peru. Well, Mexico. And Peru.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. The alpaca items in Peru just about did me in.
There's been times you bought something because you loved it in that moment. And then, like you said earlier, had regrets that I really didn't need that, but I liked it. It's kind of cool. I don't know when I would wear it. Like that one sweater that you bought in Peru, that blue one.
I have it. I still have it.
You still have it, but you cut the tassels off of it,
which
was kind of like the signature thing on it. I'm surprised you still have that, but that was one of those things that you were like in that moment. It was awesome. It was just, it looked great. It was, you were just like stoked. And I think you wore it once. You've worn
mm-hmm.
it once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the meantime, there's that handful, even as restricted as my clothes are, I still find myself normally when we're out and about, not in COVID-19 lockdown, going to the same handful of things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it happens the same way. Interestingly, on this long-term travel journey, as it does for all of you at home, how you go gravitate toward that same handful. What do they say? Like 20% of your wardrobe?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to get rid of probably 25% of what I have because I don't wear it. Since we've been here.
Yeah?
In Bariloche, there are things that I have not worn once.
Well, because we're not doing anything. So we're basically folks wearing t-shirts.
Yeah, but I have like 6 t-shirts.
Sweatpants.
I think I need 4.
Yeah.
I don't need, actually, it's probably more than that. Some of them, there's a couple of things that I acquired when I was in the States one time, and it's kind of like in that mood of like, yeah, these are cool. I'm going to buy these t-shirts. And then you get here and you're like, okay, so I don't need them because I don't wear them. And most of the ones that I have like 4 wicking shirts and I could rinse those out in a sink.
Yeah,
at any
now
moment.
That we realize how easy that is.
Yeah. I'm more of a
really
functional
fast.
Person.
Of
you're more,
yes.
You're like, you have an emotional attachment to the clothes that you wear. I shouldn't say an attachment, but it's like, what am I feeling today? I don't ever dress that way. I don't ever go, am I feeling, like a color? Am I feeling, like a button down?
Never a button down. No, I think a lot of what I've done is, so I try to keep the base wardrobe, keep it simple. Allow for the accessories. It's still a huge temptation for me. And it is, again, because of the artisan stuff. And it's so beautiful and lovely. And I love supporting the local artists. So that's an ongoing thing. I mean, right now, I do not need, not even close
you know
to
how
need
you can
any
support
accessories.
The local artisan craftspeople.
How?
You could start to buy things or at least show things to people back in the States or in Europe or wherever and say, these things are really cool. While I'm here, let me know if anybody's interested.
And then be a distributor.
You can become a local distributor of artisan
liaison
crafts and could be a thing.
Yeah, put a place mark.
So if anybody is listening, they think that's a great idea, please leave a comment.
Because then it would allow me to still
on Facebook.
Yeah, and still see the stuff, potentially, be around the stuff, quote-unquote shop for the stuff. I don't know. We'll see. Okay. So along those lines, I feel like I keep saying that along those lines, but quality over quantity. So as absolutely the items that you leave for this travel, whether it's for a couple of months, a year, or what have you, quality, quality, quality over quantity. You'll realize really quickly your shoes and your coats.
Right.
Those have to be the best, yeah, the best durable quality that you can get your hands on and afford.
In a lot of the higher price point items, like a $200 raincoat, Gore-Tex, thinner materials, lighter anyway.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that happened a few times in our travels mm-hmm. where we ended up where we realized we could get, when we got a new jacket, that it would be that it would be a better material, quality. Lighter weight pack, smaller. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, with the like performance fabrics and everything that they do now with, because, yeah, the sporting goods are, I mean, can get some pretty big price tags on that, but they're workhorses. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're wearing them constantly.
And they'll last a long time.
Yeah.
They won't wear out. They're not going to be an artisan item that might wear out after five or six wearings. One thing I just wanted to reemphasize, too, is that we've mentioned this numerous times, we've written about it, but yet people still make comments about it and still think about it from the perspective of, you know, you guys are traveling. We've even had people like, wow, that's an awful lot of luggage.
We've
people make comments like that's everything we own.
Yeah, yeah.
We are carrying our entire lives with us.
Yeah, so there's times when we're sitting at the doorstep waiting for the ride, and then it looks like we have the stack of luggage, like we were just there on vacation for a week or two. Why the heck do they have so much stuff?
That's
but
our
it's
lives.
Because this
everything.
Is all our stuff.
So anybody who's kind of seen a photo on any of our Facebook page or our Instagram page about moving transition day and think like, wow, they got a lot of stuff. It's like we are carrying everything. So we know some people that are doing this that they might be gone for 3 or 6 months or a year, but they're going back to a home.
Right.
They're going back
to
this base of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're not.
Yep.
We're never going back to pick up more clothes.
No, or switch out things. Or now we know we're going into this season, so we're going to get those items for that. No, it has to be everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we're in some place that is warmer weather, we don't need a winter coat, but we have a very lightweight down jacket. Mm-hmm. We each have one that we have brought with us, a layer that we can use. We'll probably be using it pretty soon if we're here much longer.
Maybe this week.
Yeah, we're supposed to have snow flurries a couple days ago.
Yeah. And then the next and last point is just constantly reassess, which we had mentioned that's always happening for us because we're touching our stuff and packing it up typically every month. So every time we end up donating, even after through all of this in our travels, we've donated bags of things, I think, at every single place we've stayed.
Mm-hmm. And we've had a couple of people who have written to us, I'm thinking of Maria in Merida, saying, thank you so much for the computer during this COVID time. The laptop, we left a laptop.
Because we were.
She said it's been very useful for the kids to be doing their schoolwork remotely.
Yeah, that made me feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we've given some binoculars. We had an e-reader, an extra e-reader that we didn't need. There's been some things over the year and 8 months here that, interestingly, we've given up,
boots,
not just clothes.
Ponchos.
There was the poncho period.
Poncho theory, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, ultimately, for me, I mean, my biggest takeaways and my lessons for myself is to just get a handle on the triggers when we're out and about and I'm seeing these beautiful things all the time. Appreciate them from afar or close. Appreciate them. That's a beautiful knit. That's a beautiful textile scarf. That's a beautiful piece of jewelry. I don't have to own it. I don't have to get that feeling like, oh, this needs to be in my life. Just enjoy it. Yeah, just not making this harder for myself by justifying buying new things. And now I have to sort it, figure it out, make it work, pack it, all of that.
One of the things you said is instead of buying clothes, let me buy accessories or jewelry. Because like a pair of earrings is not going to take a ton of space.
Right.
So you've been doing more of that.
Getting better with that.
Smaller things. Yeah.
Yeah. And not so much the scarves, the big, beautiful knit scarves.
Or ponchos.
Yeah.
Or when we were in San Miguel, you bought four ponchos.
Yeah.
And have none of those ponchos.
So, yeah, guys, I mean, obviously this is an ongoing process, and I've been honest with you about the fact that I still have challenges with it every single month. You know, I have challenges with it. But I just to reiterate what we talked about last week, just to bring this, you know, full circle, it is hugely rewarding for me to have gone through this and to know that I love the fact that we can just put all of our stuff in a bag or two and a half, and go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like typically, literally, go anywhere.
Right.
I love that feeling.
So that's a good stopping point.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
we hit them all. We hit all the bases. This may be one of our longest episodes today.
I know, and I feel like I've just scratched the surface, but it's it's a worthwhile process for sure.
If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform. Leave a comment, share with friends. It's growing, and we're really grateful for the people who have found us. I was looking at statistics. We are on every continent but Antarctica.
Oh, goodness. How do we reach our Antarctica
audience? We'll get there.
Audience. Someday. Okay.
Someday. Awesome. We'll have to do some target marketing, I guess, down the road.
We'll have to figure that out.
So, yeah, there's a good stopping point. But, yeah, there is a little bit of a buoyancy.
A little lift.
A little lift. Feeling. Maybe it was because we kicked off with, how we kicked off the show.
Yours was we're going to be able to travel again, and mine was a bath.
Yeah. Equal.
Okay.
Equal.
Yeah, very balanced. Okay. Whatever works.
Go draw a bath, Karen.
Okay.